How did it turn out? Check out the Pacifica Radio Archives from the vault Wednesday morning at 5.
There you go. 2 o'clock in the morning right here on 90.1 FM. And we'll continue with the phone calls at 816-931-5534. Good morning. You're on the radio.
This is Russ calling.
Good morning, Russ.
I was gonna continue with the present conversation, and I think that the listening to you guys last week, I think the problem is that I think people like Michael are just too emotional, and I think that's where the problem is, because when we're discussing some of these issues, you know, I have to look at it objectively because I have no connection to the Trail of Tears. I have no connection to owning anybody. My ancestors came here in the 30s with no money. So there's this disconnect that, for some reason, people on the other side of the argument seem to think that, you know, that somehow they experienced the Trail of Tears, which of course is impossible, but they came across on a slave ship, which is impossible. But it becomes a question of, you know, sort of objectivity versus some kind of immersion therapy or something on the other side. That's what it seems like to me.
Right. I mean, but you do realize that Native American Indians do have connections to the Trail of Tears.
No, but I think he's right. I think you're absolutely right, Russ. I do get emotional about these things. And I think because the conversation for me is not just about the Trail of Tears or, you know, COINTELPRO or those things, because those are especially egregious activities that were taken by white people, by the state, whatever you want to call it, right? Those are particularly egregious activities. But it's the more continual stuff that has been systematic that we don't acknowledge, that doesn't require that your parents were here during the revolution or that they came over on the Mayflower or that they came here yesterday. It's when you have policies and mores in place that say, are there other things that we can address as well? Yes. But when you have policies and mores in place that say, don't come here, you're not welcome to participate economically. Look, the people who want to go hang out at the Power and Light District that are black ain't thinking about the Trail of Tears. They just want to hang out and just be regular old Americans, but you throw it back in their face when you say, you're not welcome here, so much so that you go through these, assuming that this guy's, according to this guy's argument, right, that you're going to go through these surreptitious methods to make sure that those people don't come. We can't make it a law anymore, although that was the case before. You know what I'm saying? So
I understand that, but I also understand that guy has a criminal background, that's why he got fired supposedly the first time, because he lied on his application about his criminal background.
Sure.
Okay. Well,
I don't know how true these statements actually are.
As I said it, that this is according to what he's saying, so I don't know. But Jason Whitlock, he's not the only one who said this stuff. Now he might be just cashing in on it. Hey, you fire me, I'll just say I did this.
He
and
is
that.
Suing Cordish for $10 million.
Right.
So yeah, he's cashing
right.
in.
Right. And
yeah, but look at how many people were shot over the weekend in Chicago?
I don't know. You probably have an idea.
Over 20. I think it was over 20, and three people got killed.
Right, there you go.
So, no, I'm just saying there's some hardcore realities here that, you know, that, I went to New Orleans a month ago on a cruise. And I was a little, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little bit nervous down there in New Orleans with my wife and myself. I didn't stray too far off the reservation because all the stories I've heard, you know, how true they all are, I don't know.
Well, you know, New Orleans is a rough town, but a lot of that has changed since Katrina.
Well, I understand that, you know, and I don't, you know, maybe the point is that societies like ours ultimately don't work. Because because you cannot please, and I realize I'm talking in simplistic terms here, you cannot please everybody. You cannot make everything 100% fair, because we're not all the same.
Russ,
we don't all have the same ability.
Is it about egalitarianism? I mean, I think it's more about opportunity, and that's kind of always been the desire in America, is opportunity. But if the system and society that are here cannot work, then that means that humanity is just doomed to another 2 millennia of violence. I mean, we're just...
Well, that's pretty much what's been happening.
Right? I mean, that's... Well, you see what I'm saying, though? I mean,
right.
if they can't, if people, human beings, can't figure out how to live and coexist peacefully in America, then forget about the world. I mean, let's just let China take things over.
China's a monolithic society.
Well, right. Most of them are ethnically Han. Yeah, no, that's what I mean when I say let's just let China take over, because, hey, they're all the same. They won't have to argue amongst themselves. They kind of operate on a beehive type mentality, I guess. I don't know. And it's just let's let them do it. Let's just give up. Let's just finish America.
Well, I think this experiment.
Or let's just everybody pick the race and have a giant race war. I don't think that this ultimately proves that this society can't work. I think, Ben, you said it when I first got here. You were saying that things are better than they've ever been before.
And violence, Russ, is actually violence has gotten better statistically in Chicago over the last 25 years. There are less shootings.
Well, then why are there 2.5 million people in prison here?
Well, that's a whole other subject, but that's the point, Russ. That's the point, Russ. There are so many different pieces of the puzzle here that we've got to deal with.
But you know why there's so many people in prison, Russ. Let's be honest.
Well, I know, but I don't know whether legalizing drugs is going to solve all that problem. But
wait a second, because it ain't just about the drug laws that we have. There's also a little piece of that racism in there too. Because if you look again, the enforcement, I think I've met a fair amount of white people, and I would say in my experience that white people probably to the same rates have drug use and alcohol use and all of those things, but there are statistically higher representations in the prison population that would suggest otherwise, would suggest that black people are more prone to use drugs, are more prone...
Go ahead. Somebody was talking to me.
But that's not the case. So that's why we have these talks about race. You know what I'm saying? Because there is more than just get over it, that was yesterday, and now let's move forward. Because these things do continue to exist in a myriad of ways. Just all over the place, and it's this overlay that is there, and we have to, amongst other things, deal with it. We have to have a talk about it. I mean, it's not like because we talk about racism, and again, I'll point out that I didn't bring this stuff up. I just like to point that out because I don't want to just dwell on racism. Because I think that is a – and I think I get emotional to the extent that I get emotional about it all is because you don't hear me. But that's why people get emotional in arguments anyway.
Well, I think what's going to happen is that – I mean, we saw it happen in Iraq when Hussein was taken out. He was keeping the lid on all the ethnic tensions there. We saw it happen when the Soviet. We've seen it happen when the Soviet Union fell apart because of the Soviet Union.
Yugoslavia, yeah.
So my theory is once the white population here becomes a super minority, that there won't be a rallying cry for all the different groups, and there'll be more ethnic tensions here.
No,
because
that will be the rallying cry for the groups. Is what is the structure of our society? That's why we must have a structure that is sound, that can withstand the
I guess that's
super
the question.
Minority.
How can you make it balanced when we're all inherently unequal to
each other? It's not a super minority. It'll be just another minority. I heard this comedian, I think an Indian or something, like Russell. No, it wasn't Russell. I can't. Anyway, he made the point that, you know, if you're concerned because white people are no longer going to be the minority or the majority in 2020 or whatever it is, then you have to assume that all those other people are working together, and that ain't happening. Blacks and Mexicans are not
because
working together.
They're all going to go at each other.
Right. Everyone is working within their own. This is a dynamic that exists, but it's not the only dynamic that exists. We've talked about this many times. The Hispanic population comes up here, and many of them go the conservative Republican kind of route because they do they're more. The arguments of God's gays and guns is more appealing to them than, you know, whatever the Democratic hook phrase you might want to call it, you know, free food and immigration reform or whatever. You know what I mean? There is more to the dynamic than just race.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying if a society, the power structure gets destroyed, there's going to be a vacuum.
Not if we don't allow the power structure to be destroyed.
Wait, hold on.
That you don't allow the power structure to be destroyed
Hold on. But what Russ just said is that the political structure in America is based upon white people being in the majority.
Right. And that is the problem.
But that's not the way the power structure is actually technically set.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If we hold true to our ideals, which are supposed to be the one man, one vote, which are supposed to be, you know, everybody come as you are, then what we've got to do is root out the things that make it a white power only or white structure. Because if it is indeed a white structure, then when you reach a super minority, as you call it, then yeah, it'll fall apart because, oh my God, there's no white people here to run things.
Well, I mean, just
then let's make running things not be a white thing, and then, oh my God, there was somebody else running things. So wouldn't it be just awesome if some Vietnamese American kid who came over as one of the boat people in the 70s became the executive, the CEO of Coca-Cola. Now I'm like hoping for the continuation of the corporate structure. But what I'm saying is, when we have this nation of immigrants come into its own as a nation of immigrants, not a nation of white people who immigrated some people to work for them. You see what I'm saying? When we truly embrace that, then the structure will be fine. But
you do have to admit that the country has changed rather radically over the last 50 years.
Yeah, because white people haven't been allowed to just exclude people. We have, you know, caught that freedom flame.
No, Mike, that's white people have just not been allowed to exclude people.
You don't think that's what's happened in the last 50 years?
I'll talk to you guys later.
No, it's take care, Russ. It's a combination of things.
Yes, and that's one of them.
But primarily, you had a guy like Martin Luther King, because if Martin Luther King had been a militant, you know, the civil rights movement would have turned out a little bit differently than it did.
Right.
We might have.
That's my point.
We might have had a race war.
That's my point.
It's kind of the point. We got to clear the mood for a second. I'm gonna have to play some Curtis Mayfield and get a cup of coffee.
There we go.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
I only ask of you just as I got to do myself. Look into your inner self. Only you know how to be free. If you want to grin, let it smile. Feel a little happy, go on, dance a while. Can't nobody play down God's loving child. Cause when the spirit hits you, you got to move. And just as he made us one of many, then aren't the many of us maybe only one? Surely can he be the rising sun, the depth of night, the light for sight? Sort of sets the moral standards of soul. Gives you the strength to pay the price of life. And rewards you with a bit of fulfillment. The definition of truth. He is more real than you. isn't he? Oh, Maggie Doctor must have been a heavenly man. Jesus, light of inspiration all over this land, Jesus.
Yeah, that'll clear the air a little bit. Little Curtis Mayfield singing like an angel will do it every single time. 20 minutes after the hour of 2, if you want to call in, it's 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. Mike, you're like, we got to clear this. Let's talk about Vladimir Putin or something. Right. You're just like, but I don't, this is a difficult subject topic because it's the reality of our situation here. I mean, America is a multi, polar, multicultural place. God, I hate that word, multicultural. It's so multicultural. But it's the reality of our situation. And you have to realize that it's either the American model becomes the international global model, or we go back and we revert to this monocultural concept of
constant conflict,
domination,
between cultures,
and control through violence. I mean, the American culture, now, of course, there is a pretty big aspect of militarism to it, and that has allowed some aspects of American culture to be dominant globally. But what we're really talking about is, just like you have these different cultures in America, you have black people, you have white people, but you really have black culture and you have white culture, because there are people, there are black people and there are white people. If we're just talking about those two groups, which when we talk about race in America, that's generally what we're talking about. You have people who go back and forth between those groups, who transcend those cultures, who, either grew up in, a black part of town or a white part of town. For whatever reason, they transcend them. And there's other people that don't, like Russ would be an example of a white person that does not transcend black culture. I'm just joking. But, just saying, I was in, Russ going, I was in New Orleans and I was feeling quite uncomfortable, and I'm, this, that, and the other thing. And it's just.
But see, I won't hold that against him, because when you're in a different place completely, all you got to go by is on the reports.
Fair
so
enough,
you
fair
hopefully
enough.
Have better reports.
And I mean, right.
So get off of, what's that damn website?
Stormfront.
That's it. I couldn't remember it.
But the broader point is that you have these different cultures, and then you have American culture. Which black people, white people, Mexican people, while there may be certain, TV shows that, get watched. I mean, BET is one channel. Univision is one channel, right?
Right.
Everyone else, everyone's watching the networks. Everyone's watching these big events.
Right.
Everyone's watching football games. There are things that are bigger than just our individual cultures that bring us together.
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Okay. St. Patrick's Day Parade. No, right. There are these things. That is American culture.
Right.
That is what we export. That is what, the reality of it is. Think about a guy like Ice Cube. Think about how far Ice Cube has come in his lifetime.
Oh, my God.
From coming straight out of Compton.
He's like
children's
shows.
Yeah, exactly. To being... like the friendly, Frode brother that can come to any suburban home. That's not who Ice Cube was 30 years ago.
Right.
At all. He's transcended things. And now he, and that's part of American culture. That American culture saved the militarism and the Pentagon and the trillions of dollars spent on blowing stuff up, has what has made America a desirous place globally. That and the economic opportunity here. But that American culture is an important thing. We need to celebrate that. We need to build upon that and make sure that it's not just an entertainment reality, but that there's some real social, political substance to that.
That's what I mean. We
got to be something more to it. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah.
816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Hello, caller.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, it's you.
Yes, but my name's Tracy Killebrew. I was calling about the American culture and all this stuff.
All right, go ahead.
And everything, which I understand what they're saying, but as far as racism and everything, I was brought up like this here. Order to be racist, you got the order to hate yourself, the order to be racist, black or white. What they are doing, they are perpetrating what they are taught and everything. But I just don't understand why America's the way it is. Could you explain that to me?
It'd take about 200 years.
I know.
Maybe actually a little longer than that.
But you may not believe, though. See, like I said, I know about all that back in my grandparents when it was coming up. My great-great-grandfather had owned slaves and everything. I mean, that I cannot believe.
Well, right. So then the reality of it is this, is like you're, I mean, okay. So why is America like this? I mean, we could spend 200 years talking about that, but we really need to be talking about what we want America to be like, where, what direction we're heading, where we're going, because we're doing that right now. I mean, that's where we're at. We are making this place what it is every single day that we get up. We are setting intentions, going about our day, whatever those are. If your intention is to do nothing, if your intention is to, and I'm not saying you specifically, man, I'm just saying, we decide every day by what we do with our day, what we want things to be and where we want things and what direction we want
to
go.
Right. In other words, in order to make a change, you got to start changing yourself to help people change.
Goddamn right. And it's like, not just, it's not like just black people or just white people or just Mexican people, but it's like there's this sentiment that everyone's waiting for the government to do something in this country. Everyone's just sitting around going, man, once the government gets figured out, all the Republicans are like, once we get that Obama socialist guy out of office, we're going to do this. And the Democrats are like, once we get the House back, we're going to do this. I mean, it's just everyone's waiting for politics or the government to solve something, and it's never going to happen.
Or for the government to change, we have to change America.
We've got
to
stop caring about the damn government. We've got to move forward on our own
and change this thing
on our own, because there's nothing stopping us.
Right, because like I be telling people, like in a crisis, we react before we think and everything. Then when we react, we be trying to think, oh, God, why come I did this and everything? I mean, that don't make no sense. And, like, I be trying to tell my friends and everything, they be talking about prejudice. I said, no, I'm not prejudiced. I'm human prejudice, because we all do stupid things. Like they say, they drop that N-bomb on people and everything, on black culture and everything. If they look up that word, that's a low-down, dirty person. And, see, that's what I don't understand, where they get the word nigger from and everything. And in the dictionary, that's a low-down, dirty person. I mean, could you explain that part?
I think it goes back to like Niger and mispronunciations and whatnot, but you know, the river Niger in Africa, but even that could be wrong.
Right, because I mean, we all need to love one another. That's what God put us on this earth for.
That's right. Stop looking at differences and start trying to find some similarities, because the reality is, for the average white man, the average black man living in America, I mean, there might be some differences about how things are treated and coming up, but I mean, our experiences, what we live, we are so much more similar than dissimilar.
Right. I mean,
there's
just
no doubt about that. You can't argue with that.
Right.
We can start finding these differences, and we can talk about the emotional, painful, hurtful, you know, side of that, or we can look at the reality of, I mean, we're in America, and we're all blessed to be here.
Right.
And we all truly are blessed to be in this country.
Because this is a lovely country.
Right.
Damn right. And a lot of opportunity here.
I mean, we all need to just do something. I mean, like then a quote, like I heard y'all was talking about slavery and everything. Why is it that Mississippi was the last state to abolish slavery? Just a couple of years ago when that movie Lincoln came out. And I'm from Mississippi.
To issue some statement or to change their constitution or something?
Yes.
Because a lot of people just can't let stuff go.
Right. I'm from there. I love my hometown, but I never will visit it because there's still stupidity in the South.
Well, right. And everyone, I mean, Mississippi is a, I mean.
Yeah.
Mississippi, you know, fails a lot of, I mean, they're number 50 on a lot of lists in regards to progress, and that's
right.
That's for a lot of. I mean, but why is that? Mississippi doesn't have any industry to speak of, really.
Right.
It's an agricultural place. I mean, it's a very, you know, simple place. I mean, it's not.
I mean, plus two is still like this year. Like they still got the cotton fields and everything, but it's still slavery, but I mean, it's like this here. If you don't work for me, you got to get off my property, get out my house. Right. Why is it still like that?
Some things die hard. It's our responsibility. Right. It's our responsibility as people who are looking at the future, looking to the future with a vision for the way we want things to be, to make
right.
that happen, to be proactive, set intentions, and follow through on that. Tracy, we appreciate your phone call, man.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
I will continue on with the phone calls, 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Hello?
You're on the radio.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I don't normally call in for radio shows, so this is like my first time doing whatever.
It's all good.
Anyways, I'm sorry?
It's all good. Go ahead.
Okay. By the way, that was a great Curtis Mayfield song, but I'm more of an Otis Redding guy myself. Anyways... But I had to ask you a question. I normally don't call into talk shows because I've heard talk shows where everybody's like, you know, screaming hateful things and blah, blah, blah. But I was sitting here listening to you guys, and you guys sound, you know, reasonable. Okay, so here's my question. Okay, I'm pushing 40 years old. My father was actually born in the 30s, and he had actually seen the whites only in signs and in restaurants and things like that, you know, and it turned his stomach because he was not a racist man. He hated it. You know, growing up in our home, if I would have used the N word, I would have been slapped in the face. Okay. Because, you know, we're just, you know, that was not allowed in our home. Anyways, my question is, this is an opinion question is, in your opinion, how long, how many years, how many generations do we have to go through before we stop having this conversation?
Mike,
never.
Do you want to?
Never.
Okay, never.
I mean, it will always be at some level or for a long, not in your lifetime. I mean, it will be a long time. I'm sorry. That was my racism meter.
Well,
no.
I mean, you know, the reality.
did I say something racist? Or,
No.
Your raceometer?
That's me not being able to control my technology because I thought I turned all that stuff off.
No, the answer to the question is as soon as we're all blended, man. And
yeah.
As soon as we all have a skin tone similar to Beyonce's.
That's happening.
Right,
that's
and it is happening
because there are I served in the military, right? And when I went in the military, I saw people of different mixed ethnicities and things that I had never seen in my entire life. I mean, I'd be like, if I were, friendly with them, I'd be like, hey, man, can I ask you a personal question? What is your ethnicity? Because I didn't know. And I wasn't being a jerk about it. You know, I live in Midtown. I'm in Kansas City, all my life. But the thing is, yeah, we are mixing, and probably 500 years from now, we'll all be brown. You know, I'm a white guy, but my great-great-great-great-grandchildren will probably be brown. But it goes back to the question is, like, it kind of disturbs me that, like, like earlier, you were talking about Spike Lee, talking about, white people are descendants of slave owners. And, I always say the same thing. And I'm one of those guys, I'm not a liar. You know those white guys who always say, yeah, I got tons of black friends. And you're like, no, one black guy at work you wave to every now and then. Okay, I actually have black friends who come to my house and I go to their house. You know? So,
sweet.
Long story short is, I'm wondering, you were saying, it'll go on forever, but, that really hurts my heart. I mean, how long?
Well,
I mean, how many generations go by?
I don't mean forever, but I mean, you're always going to have, I think ultimately it's going to come back to what you were talking about earlier, being the economics issue, right? As we move forward into the future, if we have more, not equal, but equitable outcomes or as we have, you know, it's a mixing thing is how I look at it. Look, you had slavery end 150 years ago, but it was only 50 years ago that we were able to move forward insofar as the Civil Rights Act, right?
Right.
So
right.
Or even, and that doesn't end it all. That just moves it forward to where you get to a point where you can have, I don't know how many black millionaires there are now. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a black
millionaire. Oh, yeah. You watch that show, Sharks, or whatever it is. The guy who invented Boo Boo. Yeah, that guy's worth more money than
right.
whatever.
But Oprah's your black billionaire.
Right. There you go. I forgot about Oprah. But yeah. the thing of it is that as you start to have that and you start to have that kind of ownership and that works its way through the society because, you know, here's what's going to happen, right? That black millionaire is probably going to be more likely to hire than the average white guy, black folks to be in his thing and doing some things. And then they have kids who grow up expecting and you know, it just takes time for this stuff to change.
But it's not all just about money.
I mean,
I'm not talking just money, but it's the economic and social power structure, right? Like
I agree.
Like if I feel as a kid like that place isn't for me, you know what I'm saying? Like going over to the plaza isn't even for me. Then not just having that money, but that freedom. The idea of opening a restaurant for this or that or the idea of doing something doesn't come to you if you're all sitting in the same little spot and everybody's scratching two nickels. You know what I'm saying? You have to be where there is economic activity. Not that money solves everything, but it is the pursuit of happiness, right? That's what we're talking about when we talk about the pursuit of happiness is economic self-betterment, right?
Okay, can I ask you a question? And I'm not trying to be a wise guy with you. This is a legitimate question. Okay, so are what you're saying, again, I'm not trying to be a wise ass with you. So are you saying that if black people just had more money, then everything would be more equal?
No.
Okay.
Not just that. But the way black people would have more money would be that they were more equal.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you see that, right, man? I mean,
we could look at it statistically and go, you know, there's more white people who are poorer than black people, so...
Yeah, and there are more white people who are actually on food stamps.
But my point here is I think we're in some ways we're not talking about money as much as we're talking about respect. You know, I mean, I can only imagine what it must be like to be a black man and know that you are getting treated and disrespected a certain way. Just because of the color of your skin.
No, absolutely. When you guys were talking earlier about with Uncle Fester about the profiling somebody and not giving them a ride, I can't tell you how many times I walked from freaking Westport to 39th and Prospect because I couldn't get a cab.
Right. But cab drivers.
But no, it's that
that's
respect.
Just one thing.
It's a respect thing. It's exactly. I'm agreeing with
absolutely.
You, my friend.
Absolutely.
I'm saying you're absolutely right because I felt disrespected every time I was treated like, you know, followed around the store.
And it's like one of those things where men want to be respected by other men. And that's just kind of a, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just
that's
be
the
like, respect
man.
Me as a man. And women have their own thing too. I know, and I'm not trying.
It's
to get
kind
into
of the same thing, but yeah, I'm
fair
with
enough.
You.
I'm speaking as a man. I'm just going. You know, men want to be respected by other men, and it's just like, don't look at me and think that I'm something other than what I am because I look different than you.
Right.
Right. You know? Well, you know what? You could probably say the same thing about women. I mean, it's like you know how it takes like five girls to go to the bathroom for some reason they all go together.
Oh Lord.
Okay. There's probably, you know, there's been times, I haven't been there, but probably if there's like six white women and one black woman, you know, they're like, there's a black girl in here. You know, I mean, I can understand where you're coming
know.
From.
I bet women probably don't have the same issues.
Well, I wouldn't know. But
I would just guess because women are different. They're more empathic. They're more emotional. Right. They probably don't have – they can go the sisterhood thing. With men, it's more like, oh, you know, I'm on my own. I'm like, you know, buck up this, buck up that. You know, watch out. I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it's more about putting your chest out there, puffing the chest up. Girls can be more just like, oh, she, you know, well, our girlfriend, you know. But we appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for calling in the radio for the first time and making it with us.
I'm such a child.
What's that?
I'm such a child.
A child?
Because the first thing I thought was it'd be nice if more women. But anyway.
Oh, okay. 816-931-5534. Just ask a girl so she can touch your elbows together. 816-931, if that's what you're going for. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Hi, this is Bill from Kansas City. How you guys doing?
What's happening, Bill?
Not much, man. I'm just tuning in a little late. So
2 weeks, Westport.
Another shooting up there. You know, it's crazy. It's
Is it really that crazy?
I'm sorry, what?
Is it really that crazy, though? This is America.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of the problem is we've came to expect this stuff instead of trying to figure out ways to solve it.
Well, you solve it by giving people more guns.
I was going to say
that's the solution is you arm everyone.
Well, like we said last week, you know, gun control isn't going to fix all that. But you know, I called to talk about the racism stuff. I think some of the stuff I proposed last week is still true for this conversation as well. I believe African Americans are just now kind of catching up because they were denied opportunity for hundreds of years in this country, and I still don't believe they have equal opportunity. I believe it's getting there, but you know, we look at again like the education system in Kansas City. And you can compare it to a white suburb like Johnson County, and it's, you know, it's not even close. So I think that's, you know, you got to start on things
like education. Well, that's economics. That's generally economics because the people in Johnson County, white or black, you know, by and large are probably going to be more valuing of education.
Absolutely, but you can't have better economics without good education. I mean, you know, there's rare instances where you can say, well, this guy did this, he didn't go to college or anything. But generally, you know, education is what stirs economic success.
No, that's right. No, that's absolutely right. But what is it? It becomes a chicken and an egg argument, does it not?
Somewhat.
So we're saying education and economic opportunity walk hand in hand. What are you going to get first? I mean, are you going to get that educated, inner city, you know, impoverished, you know, graduating class, or are you going to get economic opportunity first?
I think you can bring both. I think you can bring both.
That's good.
Bring better jobs into the community, while at the same time trying to improve the educational system, which I think both can be done. You know, I was. You know, I'm pretty libertarian / conservative, and I know it doesn't really matter for this conversation, but I really like Rand Paul. And one of his suggestions that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, and the president kind of had his own idea and it was somewhat similar, are these economic free zones that would, you know, I don't know if I necessarily agree with it or not, but...
What does that mean, though? Go ahead.
Well, it would give incentives to some of these companies and businesses to start up in these impoverished areas. You know, usually I don't like to, it's kind of centralized planning, I guess. But, you know, if you bring stuff like that to the community, you are presenting more opportunity. I mean, do you agree?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about bringing to the community. If you're talking about opening up a Sam's Club, you know, because there's some vacant lots on 63rd and Prospect, so let's put a big Sam's Club there, that doesn't really bring the economic opportunity. I mean, you know, I mean, there'll be some, I don't know. I guess if they're hiring in that neighborhood, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. We live in such a Sam's Club in there, a brand new one, yeah. And they, And I don't know. Again,
but realistically,
I don't know,
speaking, we live in such a mobile society that every time I go somewhere and I talk to people, they're traveling from Blue Springs to work in Olathe or
those
distances.
But let's be honest here, though. How many of those people are going to travel to, 49th and Prospect?
Oh, every one of them. There's people who do that all the time.
Well, I'm sure there will be, but I don't think it'd be as many as if, they're opening up the new
BMW repair shop, maybe you I don't know. I mean, the people who have the skills and need the job will work there. People do that. I mean, they drive, great distances to find work. They may not live there, but they'll work there.
But this is so Rand Paul economic free zones. The idea then goes, okay, so we need the government to solve these problems. And that's the
idea is the government pulling out of the way in that sense, in your terminology.
It's not necessarily the government solving the problem. It's, they're providing a tax break, to these certain areas.
But it becomes more than just a break. It's the incentive to get them to go there because they're not there.
A tax break to a minority-owned business to create more jobs in the inner city? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, that's one idea. Again, there's been several different types of ideas, but they're similar all in the sense that it's an incentive to bring jobs and things like that into the community. I mean, because like the Plaza riots, which are kind of overblown. I mean, how many movie theaters are east of Truth? There's none there. There's none there.
Movie theaters?
Yeah.
Right. Cinemark has problems because, it's got...
It's the only place they can get that or Crown Center.
Right, but why couldn't there's so much, and I think they call it Urban Prairie. I mean, East of Truth, why couldn't you build one over there? I mean, can anyone tell me why you couldn't?
Well, but the thing of it is, Bill, that they did. It was there. I mean, Bannister Mall was there. The across the street from Bannister Mall, there was another movie theater that was right there. There was one at 63rd and just east of the Swope Park area there, Briarwood. That was around. I mean, these places were there, but the community still, kind of dissipated. And this goes back to, I don't know, and this kind of keys into what you're talking about with respect and maybe even to the whole government thing. And again, you go back to okay, was Martin Luther King wrong? Right in so many things, were wrong in the whole desegregation and again, it ain't on Martin Luther King because he was just talking about, hey man, let people be and go where they want to go. The unfortunate reality is that a lot of black business and community, and this goes back to what Brandis was talking about in the 60s, left the black community. The business didn't leave the black community. The black community left the business, right? Like now you're free to go to Woolworths, right?
They walk in the front goddamn door.
Right. We had riots in the – not riots. We had sit-ins in the South to demand access to a place that didn't want you. But once we got them forced to take you, so many people went to these places, right, that
right.
Then the places that used to be there – like I talk about all the time – well, not all the time, but whatever. Like I grew up on 39th and Prospect. Mm-hmm. Miss Garrett's record store – and ice cream parlor was there when I was 10, 11. So we're talking 77, 78. By 81, it's gone because they've suffered in that community, 39th and Prospect. We had fast food restaurants, hardware stores. We had all this stuff, right? Right there on that corner when I was a tyke. But it all disappeared over the years, and by the mid-80s, it was all gone because you had dual things happening, right? One, you had all the traffic, all the business gone, right? Like, you just the economy of scale. You can't run an ice cream store throwing out your damn ice cream without selling it.
Right.
Right? So if all your customers left there and went to freaking Topsy's on the plaza because, well, we can go down on the plaza now, then you lose your community. I mean, you lose your business. And likewise, people moving out south, as we called it back then, which is now Ruskin, which is right. Inner city, but it didn't used to be. It used to be that place out there where my friends moved when they finally saved up enough money to get out of the community rather than fix the community. But I don't know, how were they supposed to fix the community, you know, when you got all these other factors in play, and then you throw in the whole CIA bringing in the crack epidemic, and you got
right.
another log on the fire. And that's what's happening. And so it becomes an issue of, yes, within the community, we've got to change. I say the community within the black community, right? We've got to change some, like, things about how we do conduct business, right? Like Brandis was talking about, love ourselves, take care of ourselves, support that business. You know, we had, I can't think of his name now, but used to call all the time and would talk about that. And I go round and round with him. But we do need that. But we can't call it racist, or it can't be racist in its intent.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, you don't, because what happens is, you know, we talk about this economic free zone, right? So what will happen is, you know, let's just something out of the blue, like Joe's boat making, right? Will be like, dude, this is awesome. I can go over and open up a factory on 39th and Prospect in this economic free zone, right? And get all these tax breaks and make yachts to sell to people who live out on Lake whatever out there in the South, that big Raintree Lake, right? Uh-huh. So I can do that. I can be a white guy making stuff for white people, but it's in this black neighborhood, and I get to get tax breaks. Well, that's not the intended consequence. And if I, as a black person, go, that's not right, then you go, well, you're being racist. If you don't like it, open up your own freaking boat shop.
Right.
And that ain't gonna happen because I ain't got that access. Or maybe I should just stop thinking like a victim on 39th and Prospect who grew up, you know, without these certain, you know what I mean? You can't. I'm sorry, go ahead.
At some point you got to welcome, and it doesn't matter the race. I lived in Overland Park, and if some black guy opened a business, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, it's not, you know, why is this a black guy running the business? I think the mindset should be, you know, this is a business, period. It's going to provide opportunity, you know, for my community. And that's what it's got to be about.
If indeed it does, but the example that I use is one that would not be really providing much opportunity for the community, but that is how things sometimes shake out.
A boat shop is, you know, a business. Even if he's getting tax breaks, I mean, who cares? A boat shop is still better than an abandoned crack house where, you know, drug dealers and prostitutes and pimps can post up at.
I'll grant you that.
Regardless,
I will grant you that, but I don't know how effective that will be for rescuing, saving, freeing, whatever you want to call what needs to be done for that community, for that part of our community, right? I'm not saying that community like it's a separate thing. It's a part of our community, right?
Right.
Part of our body, if you will, has a problem. You don't go, well, I'm a hand, I don't deal with that. You know what I mean? I'm an eye, I don't deal with that. No. If your stomach hurts or your leg hurts or whatever, everybody comes together to try and fix that thing. And I'm not saying that it has to be through government or whatever. I'm just saying that the problem still remains if it's just a boat shop that hires some guys who drive over from Johnson County to do their thing and then sell it to some guys who live in Johnson County, but it has a way stop in this economic free zone. You know what I'm saying?
So we need to have a boat manufacturer that's building boats for a truce lake.
Right.
Is that what you're trying to say here,
right,
Mike?
Well, but right. but seriously, I mean, and I don't know what manufacturing, unless, you know, you go like, I don't know. It's a you get these economic benefits if you hire from within this community, but then that's a racist policy because, oh my God, you're basically saying you got to hire black people. And right. in hell, there'll be black people who will complain about it being a slavery shop. You're basically going to give this white guy an economic benefit to come in and put all these black people to work. And if they have the wrong attitude about it, sure. And that will come up. But the fact of the matter is, whatever it is that we're going to do about it, we got to, like you said earlier, Ben, you know, every day we wake up with these intentions and where are we going with them? Because the people who do their intention stuff, they make it happen. And even when we disagree with it, like this airport terminal, right, to get off right. of the race thing, this airport deal is going to happen.
Well, that's
no, I mean, let's be honest here. Not if
I have anything to do about it. I mean, how
and I wish you did, but you don't.
The single terminal idea at KCI is a racist policy. Let's be honest here.
But seriously,
no, it's a waste
I mean,
of money is what it is.
That's the thing is they have right. an intention of doing it, and they have done it.
Well,
and the people who
the
intend
people,
for it not to happen, I don't know, because we are not unified in that. Because it's
well,
like
no,
it's a thing we don't
about
want.
It?
But
everyone
don't.
I have talked to thinks it's the stupidest idea.
Right, but
they
it's not a
it.
Motivating force for them, right? Like there are going to be a handful of people who will dedicate their energy to stopping this thing, but most people will be like, "Well, that's a stupid idea." But what the hell if they do it? They do
well,
it.
Well, Mike, I honestly disagree with you. I think if these like shootings keep happening in Westport every week like they have been, and you have the riots on the plaza, and you know, and
they'll
this keeps happening, and then they're going to talk about spending $1 billion on an airport and not try to fix these issues. There's going to be some really pissed off people, I think.
Yeah.
I get
what you're saying, although they're going
to
say...
They tried to ram that medical, that research thing down our throats, and the people actually voted no against it.
Well, that's true.
So
yeah,
I think people are starting to stand
Bill,
up more to that.
Bill, chances are, why would Sly James or the city council put the airport thing to vote if they know that it won't pass? I mean,
why'd they put the medical research thing to vote?
Because it was the nature of what it was. It was raising a tax. You have to ask people to raise taxes. The airport would be funded with user fees, which are also a tax, but not a tax on the citizenry, just a tax on the people that go to fly out of KCI, which would be the citizenry, but you have free will to either fly or not fly out of KCI. I mean, that's not the point.
You could drive to St. Louis.
Right. Well, right. It's a little different, but
no, it is different, know. And they will not put that up to a vote unless they think they can win. So then the only ramification you would have, you know, to punish, you know, politicians for voting through something that was against the will of the people would be to vote councilmen off the council, or
and then they would go get a job. For
right,
the people
but they have an election what next year, or 2 years from now?
But see, that's the point, though. You know, you have
right.
to stay motivated. You know, the powers that be have intentions that they set, and you know,
well, absolutely
moving forward with it.
And your intention,
the racist
a small
single-term
portion
policy.
Of your intention is to stop that, but most of your intention, and this gets back
well,
to again your
well,
statement
here,
earlier,
here's
Ben.
Here's why
about,
we never stop. Here's why we never stop those things.
Stop what
things? Is because when
these
like the billion-dollar airport thing,
and the pride,
we'll forget
the
about it in a couple
light.
Weeks because you know Donald Sterling will say something or like 300
well,
girls
go
in
back
Africa will go missing, and then we focus on that, and then we focus on this and this and this and this. We don't have the mindset to focus on one thing
and
actually
fight it.
Pissed
off about that. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
About what?
Talk about
people are pissed off about us talking about 300 girls being kidnapped.
Why would people be mad about that?
There are people that I it just.
What I don't understand is the damn federal government won't offer up drones to the Nigerians to help find these girls. What we I
yeah.
mean, how there's 200 plus
have
girls
they requested them and they won't
out
give
in a,
them
in
or
a
they
forest
just
forest somewhere.
Right.
I mean, you know, Google Earth anyone? I mean, we can't find these people. I mean,
yeah.
All right, but Bill, we got to go because it's
oh
almost
Lord,
three.
It's 3:00.
It's almost three. Take
right.
care and have a great day.
Have a good night, guys.
Get
stick
Kevlar,
with me. I'll be back at 4
vest.
Tonight.
Get a Kevlar vest. Because, you know, I sit on my front porch. I live close to Troost. You know, and I support the business, the few businesses that are on Troost, as much as I can.
They're building an economic center over there.
If they put another, they already put a Dollar General in. We're going to get a Family Dollar. I mean, this is the city council planning for, you know, our economic future on Troost for the people that have, you know, a connection to that corridor. Yeah, we're going to get Family Dollars, Dollar Generals. What's the other one?